my dream is that you will step into your rightful place, that you can visualize yourself storming the heavens, that you can visualize yourself changing atmospheres as we kind of just explore, yeah, a little bit of what it's like to move in the presence of the Lord. And so how long, Chris, have you actually been passionately pursuing your relationship with the Lord at a kind of a prayer level? If that makes sense?
At a prayer level, well, I think really.
Well, how does, yeah. Yeah. That whole passion pursuit that's moved into intercession, what was the shift? What was the change? What was the driver?
Just first of all, if I just say this is me. So this is how I've been led. And to my mind, it's either been amazing or it's bizarre, and I'm in cuckoo land. And I'm sure I'm not in cuckoo land, absolutely convinced of that. And I think it goes way back. And I think what's happening to me now is I saw in my Bible a note, 94 it was, in this church, and the Holy Spirit said, your ministry is going to change. My ministry had been in business for decades. And he said, you have a choice to make today. This is the long and short of it. There's a cloak there. I want you to lay it down. It's up to you to whether you lay it down or not. And by the end of the service, I want you to decide whether you'll take a new cloak up. And I thought that was I knew it was real serious. And I did that, and nothing happened. And everything carried on the same. And then the next thing I think really would be, I'd been so frustrated in not seeing what we used to see in the 70s in the charismatic renewal, and seeing the amazing way that God was moving. And then Steve and Helen came here and started talking about the Holy Spirit. There were two things, Holy Spirit and grace. And that really hit me. So I remember Steve saying, if you get the idea of this, it'll change your life. And it has. And then so I started going up North Head and praying up there. I'd always prayed up North Head, but I just was going up there, spending a long time up there. And then I just felt I was walking around, and I thought I should just start shouting things out. You know, not like a nutter, but it was unusual. And I said to Stephen, and I don't know what's going on here. I'm walking around North Head, and I feel I should call these things out. And he said, oh, you're starting to move in the prophetic, and that's declarations. And I said, no, I'm not in the prophetic. No, I know I have been in intercession before. But no, they were sure of it. And then we had one of our times of prayer and fasting, 24 hours, and I can remember it, Will and Rachel will as well, and it was round about 5 o'clock on the Sunday, and it would have been amazing 24 hours. And it was just Steve and I here. And Steve put on that Jason Upton song, Great River Road. And suddenly the spirit just descended. It was stunning. And I can remember I was over there, and it was like I was a new day at school. I was standing up to attention. I had a suit on. Why would I think that? I don't know. It was just this awesome presence that came into the room. The next thing I found, I was laying over there. Steve was laying over here. And I was calling out to Steve, what on earth is going on, Steve? Steve never answered. And I don't know he didn't. I know what he was thinking. And I don't know even today whether I actually saw a face looking down at me, or it was my impression there was a face looking down at me, or that I was looking at somebody looking over me. I've got no idea. But what I clearly heard is, you're being rewired. And that's what's happened. And since that time, Dean, that is when this feeling of just wanting to be in prayer came upon me. And then Steve and Helen got me a book because they felt I was called to intercession and the watchman role. And it was James Gold book. And I read one bit of it. And James Gold said, we hear so much about people being possessed by drugs and the devil. What about being possessed by the Holy Spirit. And I thought, yeah, that's right. That's what I went down to Carol's and we prayed over it a couple of times, that I would be possessed with the Holy Spirit. And I was saying, is this being bizarre or crazy or what? But that's what I did. And just, I tell you, I'm just gobsmacked at what God has answered. That's where it started.
Yeah. Okay, can I just pick on a couple of things?
Yeah.
You said that you went up there and you started declaring things.
Yeah.
What the heck are you talking about?
Right. Now I would understand it. The where I come from is the Holy Spirit has said so clearly to me, Chris, I'm not part of your plan, you're part of mine. And he said, I'm the general. All my life I've been in market warfare. I just love it. It's so cool. I love competition and stuff like that. And he said, this is what we're going to do. All I want you to do, stop gabbling. That 24 hours of prayer. I mean, I do talk a lot. Stop gabbling and listen. That's what he said. And then he has said to me, that you seek my emotion on anything that you're interceding for. Don't bother about words, just the emotion. And sometimes I've just been overcome, sometimes for 2 and 3 weeks, with God's emotion on a subject. But then the important thing is that when you understand my emotion on the subject, get the words, but then just start declaring it. Don't pray. I've told you the situation. Just get out and declare it. And I think as we declare, whether it's the Holy Spirit, whether it's angels, or whether to talk about all that kind of stuff, but that's God's will. And he's given us the authority to declare it. And so that's what I do. Shout it out.
So this is where the Bible talks about a burden, in part. In part?
In part, yes. Yeah,
so explain a little bit more of this sense, this emotion that is linked to a subject.
I don't know. I can remember one time.
Give us an example. Yeah, that'd be awesome.
It just went on for 4 hours. And it was that I was that person. And I remember saying to the Holy Spirit, I know this is not right, but I just want to take that cancer onto me. Now, I know that's not how God moves, but it was, I'll take that cancer, just heal the, I don't want them to have it.
I actually think what you're saying there is something that we're all, actually, like this whole word of interceding is bridging the gap. So Jesus is standing or seated with the Father interceding on our behalf. And it's our role to step in and bridge the gap, interceding on behalf of the person with cancer. And Jesus carried our sins. And in the Old Testament prophets all the way through, Isaiah cries out, oh Lord, forgive us for we have sinned, you know, and heal our land and restore us, you know, because we are unrighteous, you know, and he's taking on, I mean, he probably was a really righteous guy, more righteous than most, but he's taking on something and identifying with it to release God's goodness. It's totally scriptural what you're talking about. Yeah. Yeah, no, that's awesome. And we've got to do it. You know, that at an emotional level, feel what's going on in the hearts of the people around us, people at work, and start carrying that to let God's goodness be released.
God's goodness and God's power. Because that's the other thing. That's it in part. But I've been changing a lot. And I was so interested, I listened to an interview, Benny Johnson and Michael Koulianis. And she was talking, and she talked in that book about praying from heavenly places. You know, that's where we are. That's where our authority was. It was so encouraging to me, because I mean, I share it all with Steve and Helen, but I don't know what I'm doing. I'm just following the Holy Spirit. And I've just been so aware of our power and our authority, and that while we do carry burdens and intercede, yet at the other times, you know, we're in a battle. Yeah, you look at Connor. Why was Connor knocked down in town? That should never have happened. Why it did, I don't know. But we've just got to get in control of, that's how I see it, of the world. And we have been given that authority. And we've got to take the kingdom. That's how I see it. I said to you earlier on, Tadeen said something, and he said whatever it was. And I think my reply was, I can remember the most shocking attack I think I've ever had, where I almost heard the voice of Satan saying to me, and you thought you could take me on? You thought you could take me on? And it took me about must have been 2 weeks to fight it off. And then a couple of years later, I heard that the same. But the Holy Spirit had changed my understanding. I remember saying, no, 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 sunshine, you dared to take me on. It's changed now. I know our position. And I think in intercession, that's what we need. We need to know our position. We need to have the burden. We need to get God's heart for whatever's going on. But then we've got to get out. And I used to think this whole fear, it's been talked about lately, but it really struck me a few years ago, that this whole phrase, the gates of hell will not prevail against us. And I know I'd got it wrong. I was thinking the gates of hell will not finally knock us off, but it's not. It's that the gates of hell are going to be knocked off by us. They will not prevail against us. And I just know I'm called to intercede and other stuff.
I knew that this would be the, and this is what I wanted, you know. What does it feel like for you when you're in the presence of God? What's going on when you just call on the Lord, or does the presence of God never leave us? But what is it for you? How can you express to us or me what it feels like to be sitting with the Lord?
I think that the presence of God should never leave us. There's talk about coming into the presence, coming into the quiet time. I don't personally agree with that. I know Karen and I prayed about it years ago. What about being in the presence of God the whole time? And every now and again we're going to slip out. But let's be in the presence of God the whole time. And I know my family, who think I'm pretty stupid, really, that's in England, and they've asked what's it like, and I just find it so difficult to describe. The nearest I can get it to a non-believer would be standing in a warm shower. It's that strong and pleasant. When I'm like here or up the loft or North Head, what is it like? It's just an utter sense of awe of a presence that is totally unique. I can only explain it in terms like, I remember one time down here, and it was like I was in the Old Testament temple, and that if almost I walked around, it wasn't like walking on broken glass, because there was a thing of injury there, but it was just so holy that I shouldn't be here. I'm Chris. I'm here in, I don't know if it was the Holy of Holies or whatever it is. But I think it stands, it's just in absolute awe of God. And I do it most of the time with worship music going on. And the Holy Spirit just speaks, and it goes on for hours and hours and hours. And I look at the clock, and it's not like some magic wand has been waved, but it's just the most beautiful presence that I find hard to explain. Now, I can remember one night here, it went on for a long time, and in the end I thought, I can't take this any longer. Not that it was oppressive or horrible, it wasn't, it was just so beautiful. I thought, I can't take it any longer. And then I went to walk out and I thought, but it's so fantastic, I don't want to leave. And it must have taken me a couple of hours before in the end he said, I think we've finished for the night, you can go home. Honestly, I just find it so difficult to say, using silly phrases like beautiful, in awe, is probably as near as I can get to it. And time just seems to go, it's beautiful.
I know when I'm in the presence of the Lord, I pretty much just want to cry. I'm just overwhelmed. Jerry knows it's true. You come up, so we go, oh, how are you going, Dean? And I'm roaring the eyes, you know. Just to be in his presence is, I don't know, humbling.
Yes.
It melts your heart. He's constantly changing us to make us view things differently. And you know, I think it's our right and the desire of our heart. David talks about it, you know, to be in the presence of the Lord, you know, there's nothing greater. We live in a physical world, and that's so much of the world's reality. But you're talking about viewing on another plane and another level. In reality, in your new reality or the reality that you have now, which is more powerful? Which is more powerful? And should we be transitioning to view the world from the more powerful realm?
Well, yeah, seeing that is what's helped me. I mean, to my mind, and it sounds corny, doesn't it, that the spiritual is more powerful and more real than the real, but it is. It is to me. Yet at the same time, we've been called to change the world. That's the whole point. And that's what, I mean, my viewpoint has been changed totally and utterly. I really did used to think that God was part of our plan and he was there to bless us. Now I know it's totally the other way around, but I do. I think the spirit is more powerful. I think it's more real, and we have to communicate it to the world. And if I could just share Will and Rachel, you know, we've started the Kings and Priests, but then with changes in the marketplace, I've been contracted to Philips for many years now. And it's just been so intriguing in that aspect that they're really struggling with COVID and with market changes and things like that. And we had a compulsory meeting a couple of weeks ago, months or so ago, and the managing director was saying, well, we've just got to change. You know, we're doing everything right. The market's changed. We've got to change. We've got to do things in a new way. And without going into any of that, I got a coffee with him after and said, well, you know, most of my contacts and Chris have changed. So we've got to look at skills and expertise. What's the best thing that I can put into the company? And I said, all of that, I've got the natural, but really when you think about it, I think the best thing I can offer you is the spiritual. So what say I start a prayer meeting and we'll try and pray the company through.
Do you hear that? The non-Christian boss, no solutions to what he's saying. He's saying he's buying into the fact that maybe your prayer will make a difference.
It's been so interesting. Will and Rachel, because he's a really good guy. And so we started, there's another worship leader who they employ. He's runs all the contracts, and so Ben and I pray on a Monday morning, and there was just, I think it was the second week, we were in prayer, the anointing was huge, we had worship music playing, and I said to Ben, why am I seeing straw, Ben? Does that mean anything to you? No, it doesn't. And I say this for a reason. Okay, let's pray more into that. And then I realised what it was. It was the children of Israel when they had to then go and find their own straw. They had to go all over the country to find their own straw. They're being oppressed. They still had the same number of bricks to build. And I said, I think that's it. I think the analogy, what the Lord is saying, is that here's the market changing and the people overseas, because they're obviously multinational, are just insisting on the same financial returns. And it's just ridiculous. It's crazy.
Can I stop you, Steve?
Yeah.
I just want to make a point, because he knows the scripture, when God gave him a picture of straw, right? He knows the first time straw's mentioned, first time was the making of the bricks. Right, just like when Will had his vision of tears of silver, silver is a redemptive, as a redemptive purchase price, and so knowing your scriptures links in with, because God often talks in pictures, and so knowing your scripture, and drawing on when does that relate in the Bible, creates clarity of vision of where God's going with a picture.
Yeah, and there was about four different visions that day. I won't go into them, but they were so clear, so absolutely clear. And Ben, I was saying, what is it meaning to you, Ben? He said, that's exactly what's happening, Chris. That's exactly what's happening. That's exactly what's happening. And then got a coffee with Chris. So he's the managing director and the number two in the company afterwards. And they just said, oh, how's the prayer meeting going? And I said, oh, it's great, yeah, but just bear in mind, guys, I mean, they all know where I stand. And I said, bear in mind, you know, we do believe in the supernatural, we do believe in a God, we do believe in the Holy Spirit, and he does talk to us, and he shows us stuff. And so I said, let me share what happened this morning. So I went over these four or five visions, and Brent said, what are you talking about, Chris? You saw it. I said, yeah, I saw it. And he said, but that's exactly what's happening. And I said, I know that's exactly what's happening. And it's the Holy Spirit. He said, well, how did he know? I said, well, he's looking over us. So how did you know? I said, well, he told me. He showed me the visions. And it's just been so good to deal with professional guys who are honest, decent guys. And these are real good business guys. And the whole thing with this whole seeking the Holy Spirit, coming into his presence, it, to my mind, it's just got to be. But we've got to affect the world. I mean, I love hours. And sometimes it does go on for hours and hours and hours. I love being in the presence. But you could say, well, it's just totally self-indulgent. I know God wants to spend time with us. It amazes me that he wants to spend time with me. I'm just amazed at that. I need to spend time with him. But then surely we've got to say, why? So that we touch the world. The world. It's
going to
be changed. The awakening is
coming. Amen. Yep. So storming the heights.
Yeah, totally.
Storming the heights with
our land.
In our authority as sons and daughters seated with Christ in heavenly places. We're seated in heavenly places. The people that drive you bonkers at work, the thieves, the people that are broke, the people that are hungry. Right. The best thing you can do, the only really, the most effective thing you can do is to release God's heart, character, and nature and start praying for the things around you, right? That's it with the eyes of Christ, not with your agenda. Like someone drives you bonkers at work, obviously you want them to leave. It's not the eyes of the Father. He wants to restore and redeem, right? That's what he wants to do. So we've got to, Jesus died for the guy that's driving you bonkers, right? He loves the guy that's driving you bonkers. And we actually have to release God's goodness and really, really be praying, how does he see them and how can I release his goodness everything in our life. He wants actually to be integrated in absolutely everything, and prayer. You are praying more in tongues or than you do in trying to get the right framing of words?
Basically in tongues. And the Holy Spirit has said to me so clearly, you are called to pray, Chris. You are not called to know the details. And most of the time when I'm interceding for something, I know, for instance, I might be interceding for somebody and I know they've got difficulties and I just don't know anything else. I just pray in tongues, and it is the emotion that God touches me with, not the words. I don't know what I'm praying on. It's just the emotion. And like I totally agree, Dean, it is our imputed authority through what Christ did for us. But we've got to know what the Holy Spirit wants to do in a situation, because otherwise we'll probably assume it and get it all wrong and stuff it up. So I just feel so confident praying in tongues. So I say to some people, I don't know what I'm praying about. It's great. Because it's God praying through me, and I know therefore it's right. If I pick it up and run with what I think, then I'll probably be wrong.
We've talked long enough. I want to just encourage you guys, spend time with the Lord. Seek his face. He wants to transform the world around us. Yeah, praying that heaven's ways become our, heaven's thoughts, heaven's ways, heaven's attitudes becomes our reality. That's what we've got to be calling upon the Lord for. And it's hugely rewarding, totally fulfilling to be in his presence. See things change, have the impossible become reality. Nothing's impossible through our God. Nothing's impossible. Every obstacle, every mountain that's in front of us, and we're united with his thinking, seated in heavenly places, we'll bulldoze it. We'll absolutely bulldoze it because we're aligned with him. Father, Father, just give us the yearning deep within our heart to know you intimately, your goodness, your love, the way you want to bring good gifts to us, the way you want to release your goodness on the earth, the way you want to transform the people, the culture, the places around us, that heaven's ways would dominate. Let that be the yearning of our heart. Let us step into your goodness and be seated with you. You're an amazing God. We're so privileged to have you. You've given us absolutely every tool, all authority you've given to us. So let us step into that authority and learn what it is to wield your mighty sword. In the name of Jesus.
Thank you, Chris.